He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we got about 50 minutes of broadcast left, and about 40 of that, of that 40, or 50 minutes of broadcast, about 40 minutes of it will be time that we have with our guest. Again, we're into the third hour, 8 minutes and 25 seconds into the third hour of this Monday, June 20th, 2005 edition. I wanted to get into Rush Limbaugh saying that there's no torture going on, they're having a great time at Guantanamo Bay. It's like you said, it's a great time at Gitmo. We've written a detailed article debunking all of this, and he's now selling T-shirts about how great this gulag concentration camp high-tech torture facility is. Very disgusting. Maybe I'll get a comment or two from our guest on that later, and a few other news items that tie into this. He's Professor David Ray Griffin, and he's Professor Emeritus from Claremont University, also holds several other degrees and taught several other places, very prominent individual, written two books that have been selling quite nicely. One of them, The New Pearl Harbor, and of course the new Omissions and Deceptions Report. He's got a new report out detailing hundreds of their lies since the last time he was on with us a few months ago. But I got him on because I know he was probably frustrated last Thursday night, Friday morning, being on Coast to Coast AM with those other two guys, especially Lance. It was amazing, though Nori did a pretty good job, and I appreciate Nori having the debate. I know that our gentlemanly scholar was not one to behave like a piranha, like I did, and get in there at the feeding trough to expose the New World Order. But he tried to get his information out, but so he can go over some of the points he was unable to discuss. We are here joined by David Ray Griffin. David, we just had David Shiler on, the MI5 whistleblower, exposing government-sponsored terror, and he agrees that 9/11 looks like an inside job. So seems like anybody and everybody who's got two brain cells rubbed together agrees with us.
Well, we're not quite there yet, but certainly it looks like things are changing at least a little bit more than they were just a few months ago.
Well, preceding us Thursday night, they had Mr. Reynolds on, from a former high-level Bush advisor.
Yeah, it's quite interesting that if somebody who can be portrayed as an insider says something, why a little bit of the world pays attention. So at least the UPI and the Washington Times picks this up, and also an organization, MER, Middle East Review, said on the basis of Reynolds' article, they were now calling for a full-scale media investigation. So it's got the potential to be a kind of breakthrough article. I mean, it's very different than the Wall Street, than the Downing Street memo, of course, but coming at about the same time, it might turn out to have a similar effect.
Well, we've shot down so many of their walls and defenses and prepared the ground that as more people defect, the globalists are going to have a problem.
Well, It is going to get harder and harder, and with the polls down for approval in Iraq, they're going to have to work harder to sell that story, and maybe a few of the news people now will start to become a little more skeptical and actually maybe ask a follow-up question, like when when Bush and Blair were being interviewed about the Downing Street memo. I mean, you've got it there in black and white that, according to the head of British intelligence, the people in Washington, and he had been talking to George Tenet, said the intelligence was being fixed around the policy, that is, the policy of going to war with Iraq. And they asked, one fellow finally asked Bush and Blair about that, and they both just said, you know, Bush said nothing could be further from the truth, and Blair said, oh, no, the intelligence was not being fixed around policy. In other words, both of them just said black is white, and that was it. The news people didn't pick that up. But maybe now, as things get increasingly, the war gets increasingly unpopular, maybe they'll get emboldened, and maybe that increased boldness will spill over into 9/11. I'm not holding my breath yet, but I think it's at least possible.
Well, 9/11 is the foundational event, as you and others have said, and this is what they're building their whole house of cards on, and it is a sandy area. They decided to construct their additional frauds on. The problem is that when you've got all the official Air National Guard documents that come out, the official ones, not debatable, saying Bush went AWOL, they then bring out a fake one. That gets picked up. Then they discredit the whole thing in the people's minds. They do the same thing on 9/11, focusing on the kooky stuff and debunking straw men they build. And also, I'm sure you've heard now, they're claiming one of the seven documents that's been released around Downing Street may be fake. So it's admitted Downing Street's real. I mean, we have all these admissions, but then they, it looks like, are sneaking more fake documents in to then discredit those and thus try to discredit the whole argument.
That would seem to be a quite strong possibility. To refer to the debate the other night and connect it to the point you just made about the difficulty of making the case, when people really, if they will start really looking at the official story and the links to which people have to go to defend it, why, then it becomes apparent rather quickly that either the people who are defending it don't know what they're talking about or they're saying things that are patently false. Let's take two examples of things said by my friend Peter Lance the other night. He claimed that it would be ridiculous to think that people could have got into the World Trade Center to wire the buildings or then in the last minute, fix the explosives, because John O'Neill was in charge of security for the World Trade Center.
His first day at work was September 11th, and
that's
I never
right.
got to say that.
And I didn't either. You know, we were near the end of the program, and you always have to take the choice. Do you want to bring up the point you want to bring up, which is new information, or do you want to rebut what somebody else says, and then they're going to jump back in, and you lose your time?
Well, you know, I wrote a note on that and then forgot to ever get back to it because he'd throw out so much. And then he said, oh, they clearly blew up seven, but that's no big deal. Here, let's just move on.
Yeah, so to say that John O'Neill on the first day of work could have retroactively prevented... so, I mean, here's a case where Peter is a very bright guy and has done a lot of research related to 9/11, but he simply didn't know that that was the first day of work. And so that's the kind of response you
get.
What
about how he laughed at shadow government? I mean, everybody admits they're constructing a system to take over the government. They passed the Doomsday Bill in January. I mean, this is obvious.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody, we're all human, and we all get attached to our own theories, and we don't want a theory that's going to reduce the importance of our theory.
But you said something that was key. You look at the continuum of data. That's what I do. I look at all of it together, and if any of it disproves what I'm saying, I'm wrong. But unfortunately, David, nothing disproves what I say. It only reaffirms it.
Yeah, let's take the other example then that Peter Lance used. He just accepted this preliminary NIST report, the report by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, that said, the towers would have come down, obviously, because when the airplanes hit, they would have knocked the fireproofing off of the steel.
He also called it flimsy light steel. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, that is just so preposterous.
Because steel still doesn't melt at 1,800 degrees.
That's right, and so I wanted to ask Peter, you know, if we'd had time, I wanted to say, well, you know, if you've got a steel grate in your fireplace and you're burning logs in there, why, you better get some fireproofing on that steel or, you know, it's going to melt. And, you know, it's so obvious to us that steel does not melt from ordinary hydrocarbon fires. And yet if NIST comes out and says, well, that's what happened, the fireproofing got knocked off, and therefore, you know, that's such an enormous therefore when you think about the... You know, the miles of steel that were in that building, and steel is an excellent conductor of energy, and these were huge steel columns up the middle and also pretty big steel beams horizontally. Now, there were some trusses, too, but there were steel beams.
Yeah, they focused on the small trusses as if that has anything to do with the main superstructure.
Yeah, and also, the idea that those rather small fires that in tower number two, the South Tower, had been burning only 56 minutes, because we've had, as you've talked about on your show many times, you've had all these fires, like the Philadelphia Fire of 91.
Madrid.
And the Madrid Fire of this year, where the fire was really raging throughout most of the building. And Philadelphia, I believe, was 19 hours. And still, the building did not collapse. Maybe a little of the steel might have sagged a little. I'm not even sure of that.
Well, Madrid building was having work done on it, so it had a fluting and openings, so it got even hotter. The entire thing burning like a Roman candle. Literally, I've got the reports, 100-foot white flames.
Yeah.
Now, what's hotter, 100-foot white flames or tiny, smoldering red-black fires?
Red-black fires, yeah. But it just shows the
Professor,
power.
What's hotter, red flame or white flame?
Well, white would be hotter yet. Yeah, that would, you need this acetylene torch where you get a high mixture of oxygen to produce fires that are hot enough to begin to make steel melt. So, but it just shows the power of the will to believe. If you want to believe something, you will grasp at straws and find them credible.
Well, is it the official story, almost like a religion?
Well, I think that's a good analogy because, people think of, when they think of the will to believe, they think of religious dogma.
We'll be right back, Professor.
To the farthest corners of the earth, explorers are willing to put all their wealth and skill into mapping every corner of the world, and they did. But you can still hold the world in the palm of your hand, achieve financial independence. Unlike explorers of yesteryear, you'll have a map to follow instead of relying on a compass and a North Star. Get the Red Book of U.S. coins, and you'll begin your journey to total financial freedom. Right now, Midas Resources is offering the 2005 edition of the Red Book, along with a silver dollar, for only $22.95. Call them today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. I can tell you there'll be storms ahead, but with real money as your base, liberty will be your fate. Leave the fiat currency behind and call Midas Resources to get your Red Book along with that silver dollar for only $22.95. Get the map. Start your journey to financial independence today. The time is now. Call 800-686-2237. Get your Red Book now, and you'll weather any storm that comes your way.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Has anyone told you how the Patriot Acts number 1 and 2 is the groundwork to eliminate all of our freedoms guaranteed to us by the Bill of Rights? Have you been told that they infringe upon the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendment? This is minimum infringement. There may be more. Is your guaranteed right to freedom of speech, assembly, religion, privacy, and to own a gun important to you? We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Our operators are standing by to take your order.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
A patriot is a scarce man, hated and feared. But in time when his cause succeeds, the timid join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Mark Twain. Now, there's another Mark Twain quote I saw at MacWhite.com. It was, I'm paraphrasing. But a conspiracy is just two or more people getting together to engage in some activity that they don't want anybody else to know about. I mean, that's just business strategies, anything. You can call anything a conspiracy, but who has the motive for 9/11? David, we got about 35 minutes or so left here. Later, I want to take a few calls, but that's near the end. I know there's probably a lot you want to talk about, Professor David Ray Griffin, but briefly back to that debate. It would blow me away. They'd play a clip of the informants and FBI people arguing about how the government cooked the bomb and was going to let the bombing go forward of the World Trade Center, and then that was their evidence that the government wasn't involved. I mean, this was really bizarre what we were getting from the people we were debating.
Well, yeah, I mean, there were many bizarre elements. As I say, it's back to the issue of the will to believe, and also people get their own pet theories. So, like for Peter, it's very important. He's put a lot of work, years researching Al-Qaeda. So the thought that Al-Qaeda isn't as important as he thought it is, would be a very frightening thought. And likewise, Mike Levine has his own theories about how it's always government incompetence. And certainly there's an enormous amount of competence in the government, as there is in everything. You know, I've been on faculties, and if you've been in a faculty meeting, you learn about incompetence from otherwise very bright people. So there's incompetence all around, but to say that, to turn that into a universal and say there are no genuine conspiracies by the government because these people are too incompetent, well, that's a gross generalization and confuses, people at a certain level with other people. The people who would have planned this would have been... In terms of operations, you'd be talking about the people at the Pentagon. You'd be talking about perhaps very high-level people in intelligence agencies. And
also these private groups, the defense contractors themselves that carry out a lot of operations on their own.
Yeah, and there are lots of things that go off pretty well. Like, if we talk about the attack, the initial attack on Iraq, that was a well-done operation.
People that put space shuttles into space. We got people that create fission fusion bombs. We got people making X-ray lasers. So I guess they're just all a bunch of incompetent, drooling idiots. But Professor, going back 3.5 years ago, you were a kook if you said prior knowledge. Now everyone admits prior knowledge and that they, quote, funded the terrorists, but it was all on accident. So the mere fact that we push them, even those that we debate, to, oh, it's incompetence, shows who's winning the fight for the minds and hearts of people.
Well, I hope so. Let me move to this question that you brought up of conspiracy theories, because that's still the bugaboo, you know, that people simply are frightened with being associated with a conspiracy theory. They've drummed that into the American mind so thoroughly that conspiracy theories are all...
Cowshed, said somebody.
Tectonics was originally a far-out theory under the name of continental shift, and now everything that's done in terms of earthquake predictions and so on is based on plate tectonics. When Einstein developed his theory of...
are more important.
...and disconfirmed. So that shows you can't just say because something's a theory, you know, either accept it or reject it. You have to look at each one in terms of its own merits.
But as we study 9/11, you'd have to be a wild-eyed conspiracy theorist, you know, believing in things that the evidence doesn't show if you think the official story's true.
Yeah, so let's... why don't we look at the collapse of the buildings, and just to illustrate that. Do I still have a couple minutes?
Oh, we got plenty of time after this quick break. Long segment coming up. Yeah, I mean, let's look at their official story is the wildest of all. It's like saying that flies in my backyard are going to build a spaceship and fly to Mars. Or we have the theory that could NASA do it? What's more probable? The official story is absolutely ridiculous.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Sandal season is finally here, but not for those of us too embarrassed to wear them because of yellow, unsightly toenails. If your nails look dark or discolored, now's the time to start using patented Non-X Nail Gel. All-natural Non-X is a topical ethanoic...
Certainly the animals did not want Jones.
Nail gel is absolutely amazing. I used to have yellow nails, and now they look clear and almost perfect. I'm wearing sandals again.
Non-X Nail Gel removes yellowing keratin debris, is podiatrist recommended, and has been clinically shown to improve nail clarity. It's also money-back guarantee. You'll find Non-X Gel, spelled N-O-N-Y-X, in the foot care section at Rite Aid, Walgreens, Long's, Brooks, and independent pharmacies nationwide, or online at drugstore.com. Non-X Nail Gel, for clearer nails and feet that look great in sandals.
The illuminated Berkey base allows most gravity filters to be used in the center of a table by raising the spigot level. Made of durable Lexan polymer, the same material used for bulletproof glass, it has 8 LED lamps. Incredibly, the low-energy LEDs will last for more than 11 years of continuous use and are bright enough to be spotted for over a mile in the dark. The LED lamps are powered by an AC adapter, and during emergencies, the rechargeable batteries will operate them all night long. When the LEDs are switched off, the AC adapter automatically recharges the batteries. The Berkey base is available in gorgeous cobalt blue or practical bright white LEDs, ideal as an emergency light, flashlight, or nightlight. Get the illuminated Berkey base for only $69, or get both white and blue for only $125 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll free, 888-803-4438.
Soon the mark of the beast will be enforced. Those that receive it will receive the wrath of God. Prepare yourself. Find out who the beast is and how to avoid his mark with this free book offer. Call toll-free 888-211-1715 and receive the book, The Bible Says, for free. There is absolutely no obligation. No one will call you and your number will not be sold to telemarketers. We just want to make sure you know the truth. Get your free book, The Bible Says, by calling toll-free 888-211-1715. Again, that's 888-211-1715.
U.S. gold and silver coins. Tired of guessing what they are? Which are collectible? Which are bullion? Get your answers where the experts get theirs. The 2005 Red Book Guide to U.S. Coins. As a special offer, Midas Resources will send you a 2005 Red Book and a genuine silver dollar for only $22.95. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237. Learn what real money is. Feel real money. Get your 2005 Red Book and genuine silver dollar today. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down,
folks,
down, down.
Reality is not inside your head. Reality is outside of your body. And, of course, in your body to a certain extent, your physical health. What you believe doesn't necessarily make it so. And so people say, well, how dare you, you know, change my reality on 9/11? I don't want to believe it. Well, regardless of what you believe, the facts are still the facts. Let me just say this before we go to David Ray Griffin, and then we'll go to your calls after he has some more time to go over the evidence. You know that somebody on a dialysis machine in a cave didn't have NORAD stand down, didn't do war games of flying planes in the buildings that morning, didn't do CIA insider trading, didn't call Mayor Willie Brown and tell him not to fly, and Ashcroft and everybody else. You know it didn't cause the NORAD to, you know, to sit there with the planes for over an hour and do nothing. You know it didn't make Building 7 fall. You know that. And that the people we were debating, one of them, you know, Lance goes, well, there was a Muslim guy who might have been in Building 7 beforehand, as if he went in there and planted something. I mean, it's crazy. You know, like a guy with a satchel went and brought down the building. Learn the truth. Face the facts. There's no debating it. All the evidence points toward David Ray Griffin's fourth scenario, government total involvement. That is a criminal element within the government. That doesn't mean your mailman was involved or the cop was involved or your cousin who's FBI was involved. You know, I love this argument of, my brother's FBI. He wouldn't do that. Of course he wouldn't. It's called covert action. It's called compartmentalization. This is what they do. The CIA admits to hundreds of bombings all over the world to blame it on people. I have official government documents for 9/11. I have official government documents for Operation Gladio. I have official government documents where they carried attacks out. Do you understand? That's the number one piece of evidence. Number two is the motive. And then we say, well, we don't want to believe this. Let's look at the evidence. And then you look at the evidence. Only one country, and other governments have looked at this, only one country, forget somebody in a cave, only one country could pull this off in America. Now, if you want to learn the truth, go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and get Martial Law, my new film. It is my crowning achievement. It is my tour de force. It is the best work I've done. 3 hours long, the police state, 9/11, and who the globalists are, and their past crimes. You need to have this video. I got a bunch of other 9/11 films and books I carry, my own films, other films I carry. Go to InfoWars.com. Don't wait. Order them today. Get them. Make copies. Get them out to people. We're taking this country back. But we don't have a lot of time with these approval ratings this low. They may carry out terror at any time. Toll-free number to order. 1-888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. Or go to InfoWars.com to peruse the shopping cart, to look at all the films, to watch the free clips, to look at the different discounts. InfoWars.com. Or go to PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day, all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, hundreds of other video clips, so much stuff, PrisonPlanet.tv. And your support makes this broadcast possible. Get martial law. Don't wait. Expose the murderers. David Ray Griffin, before we get into the collapse of the buildings, which my audience knows all about, and before we get into a few other questions I've got for you before calls, tell us about your two great books.
Well, the first book, The New Pearl Harbor, Disturbing Questions About the Bush Administration and 9/11, was simply a summary, for the most part, of the work that people such as you and many others who got in far long before I did had already done. And I just saw a need to put it together in some sort of organized and fairly compact and readable form.
And you don't draw conclusions. You go, here's the facts.
Yeah, I certainly draw the conclusion that there is an enormous amount of prima facie evidence that the official story is wrong, and that if the government is lying about the official story, then that certainly suggests the government is complicit.
But they've never lied to us.
But but in that book, I simply was calling for a real investigation. Remember that I was writing that book before the 9/11 report had come out.
And now for 10 months we've had this travesty.
Yeah, but then when I saw the 9/11 report, and I knew, by the way, that the 9/11 Commission had had seen my book, because many people had sent it to them. It even happened that at my school's bookstore, some people came in and said, well, we work for the 9/11 Commission, and we're looking for copies of David Griffin's book.
Well, they've been questioned about it. One of them, I think Hamilton, admitted he's heard of it. So,
yeah, well, actually, a nun friend of his, an old-time friend, called him up and said, Lee, we've got a book here you and your colleagues need to read, and a colleague of mine is going to fly it on a red-eye tonight to and bring it to your office. So he knew it was coming, and this colleague did indeed take 12 copies to the commission and put them in Hamilton's office, gave them to his secretary, and said, these are for the commission. So,
and that's a whole other discussion, what the commission did. In fact, as an addendum to your new book, the 9/11 Omissions and Deceptions Report, but also you've written another addendum to that, right?
Well, I've written a little article in which I summarized, because people had asked me, well, you know, you say the 9/11 Commission report, omissions and distortions. Well, how many, assuming that the omissions, that's one kind of lie, lies of omission and then lies of distortion. How many lies did you find? And I don't know. There are a whole bunch. So I went through and worked it out and summarized them, and I had identified 115 things that I thought were lies.
And give folks the title of that article so they can Google it.
It's just called The 9/11 Commission Report, A 571-Page Lie.
Okay, and people can find your two books in most bookstores or at Amazon.com or through your publisher. Give us the publisher, and then I want to get into some more discussion, because we're almost out of time.
Yeah, the Interlink Books is the publisher.
It's excellent. I've read the first one, gotten the second one, scanned through it. It's very accurate. Now, during the break, I said, hey, I want you to answer this question. Clearly, you believe it's number four, total complicity involvement. All the evidence goes that direction. But why did these controllers think they would get away with this? I mean, let's try to war game their mindset. I mean, we know Brzezinski, we know that Cheney, we know others said we need this attack. But why did they think they could get away with something like this?
Well, I think maybe three major factors, at least. One is simply that they know that the major media favor, in general, the expansion of the American empire. You know,
do you think they were underestimating the burgeoning alternative media?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, it does remain a fact that it's still only a fairly small percentage of the people who know about this, and even though it's a growing minority, it's hard for this to get traction, because there's no public forum for these things to be discussed. Like, we can't get on Fox News and communicate with tens of millions of Americans simultaneously. So that's one factor. I think they knew that the major media would, for the most part, simply parrot the official story and ridicule the any conspiracy theory that developed. Likewise, a factor in this is that they knew that from previous experience this would be the case. So if you look at the Kennedy assassination, for example, even though now the proof is in, I mean, we're talking about absolute proof.
Eyewitnesses, people that were, they said they did it, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's just so extensive, the medical evidence and all of this. It's summarized in recent books edited by James Fetzer.
Well, I mean, I've even had the press secretary's father, the personal lawyer of LBJ, on.
That's right. And but still, you don't get any discussion of this in the media, these many decades later. So they still ridicule the grassy knoll crowd, anybody who rejects the Warren Commission and thinks there were shooters at the grassy knoll, even though it's absolutely proved now that there were. So I think it's the past history of the media, plus the fact that that they have people in at certain levels in the media who will stop certain stories from going forward.
David Shiler, MI5, called them agents of influence. I mean, intelligence officers are everywhere in the media.
Yeah. And I think a third factor, then, is the phenomenon of the big lie, that it's such a big operation and such a big lie that for many people that just settles it a priori because, you know, of course, that was a Nazi theory, that if you tell people a really big lie, it's just so big they say it can't possibly be true. They wouldn't think of doing such a thing. And so they could count on an enormous crime. You know, and I was that way the first year and a half. I would hear these rumors that the government did it. And I think, well, even the Bush administration wouldn't do this. And, you know, I knew about Pearl Harbor. I knew about Kennedy. So that's a really hard barrier to break through. You know, now that I've broken through, it's frustrating how hard it is to get other people to break through. But, we have to recognize that is the case. So I think that is a factor, too.
Well, they got to think about the people they killed, and they deserve the truth to come out. Let's get into just three or four of the key things that can be proven are total frauds, and then let's take some calls.
Well, yeah, if we just look, you say your readers, your listeners know about it, but let's just summarize that we can take Morgan Reynolds' article, in which he summarizes 10 characteristics of controlled demolition, and these collapses have all 10 of them. So first of all, virtually free fall speed. That's what controlled demolition does. And even if fire could bring down a building, it couldn't bring it down in, say, 10 seconds. They came straight down. Again, that's the whole purpose of controlled demolition, placing the explosives very precisely so the buildings don't fall down sideways.
This is rocket science level to be able to have them, like Building 7, fall in a neat pile.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mark LaRoe, the head of Controlled Demolition, Inc., he has an interview and a recent New Scientist in which he describes how he goes in and he studies it for months on end and is very careful, you know, and then has films of it to make sure that everything went off just in the proper order. So it's a very precise science, and you can't, you know, even if you could bring down a building with fire, you could not count on it coming straight down.
Well, a lot of times these companies plan it for months, and still it doesn't fall exactly right.
That's right. A third factor, the concrete was pulverized into tiny, very tiny dust particles. And Jim Hoffman has done an analysis of the amount of energy this would take, and he's shown that it would take at least 100 times the amount of energy that gravity could have provided. And yet the official story is that gravity brought the buildings down once, the fire weakened them. And they just ignore the fact that there was not anywhere close to the amount of energy that would have required to pulverize the concrete. And then fourth, the debris, not only this dust from the pulverized concrete, but steel and aluminum pieces were blown out from the building several hundred feet. Again, that takes enormous energy.
Neatly cut. We have the photos.
That's right, and that's a fifth factor, that the massive columns and beams were cut in.
Only
most of,
Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
Yeah. And then the total collapse of the building, the thing that I keep coming back to because it's one of the big lies of the 9/11 Commission report. I think I said this before on your show, but it bears repeating, that those 47 massive tower columns that constituted the core, the inner core of each tower, even if one could bring themselves to believe the pancake theory, that the floors pancaked down, you still would have had those sticking 1,000 feet up in the air.
But the report doesn't mention them. Those didn't exist.
The report says that the core of each of the towers consisted of a hollow steel shaft. So that is the most enormous lie that one could tell about the nature of the World Trade Center towers, because that was the feature. When you see pictures of them going up, you see those towers, those columns sticking way up above the part of the building that has already been constructed.
But not here. They just get blasted off in these little sections.
And so the buildings collapse then into a pile of rubble about three stories high. So all those columns had to be severed. And as if fire, fire and gravity could do that. So as you say, the official story, if anybody will look at it precisely, is just absolutely ludicrous. When one talks about probability theory, you say,
and then
well,
we have Larry Silverstein saying we pulled it, refusing to answer questions, and then we have reporters being told, get back, we're going to pull it.
Yeah. So, yeah, with Building 7, and then you look at, as I point out in the book, my second book, if you examine the collapses of Buildings 7 and then the towers, there are some differences, but for the most part, they all share these 9 or 10 standard characteristics. And so, you know, it's a pretty easy logical syllogism.
And again, with their theory, if you can disprove any part of it, the whole thing falls. And we can disprove every part of it. It would take hours to do it, and you've done it, I've done it. Let's take a call. I appreciate folks holding so long. We'll go to Tim, David, and Dana, and then Mike. That's it for calls. Go ahead. You're on the air, Tim.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, David. I was going to say, you mentioned it's only conspiracy theories if you haven't researched this subject, and it was quite obvious during the debate. Bravo, by the way, you two gentlemen. It's quite obvious who Peter Lance is working for.
Well, I don't know that we can conclude that. I don't ever like to impugn anyone's motives or sincerity, and I know Peter.
Yeah, regardless of what Peter Lance is up to, the former Nightline producer, we just know he's wrong.
Okay. You had mentioned earlier, you had touched on it, and that's the theory of cognitive dissonance, where people reject the information that's not in line with their previous thoughts or actions.
Yeah, denial's not a river.
That's one of those biggest hurdles I think we're facing in this 9/11 thing. And my question to both gentlemen is, what is it going to take? I mean, I'd hate to see this backfire in our faces, because we all want the truth to come out and we all want these perpetrators to end up in prison. But what's going to happen to the leadership of this country in the interim, and how are we going to prevent the United Nations from trying to come in and take over?
All right. Thanks for the call, Professor.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any problem with the United Nations. I mean, it was created to be a completely impotent organization, and the ones who set it up certainly succeeded in that. It can't do anything that the leading nations don't want it to do.
It's really just a front group, isn't it, for the industrialists?
But I think the point that he makes is a good one, that I think many people in authority say, you know, we just can't expose the truth.
Stay there. We got a break. There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power mad cult of death that has sworn to turn the earth into a prison planet. Discover the documented truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139, or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Get the new Berkey battery adapter, an inexpensive yet long-term backup power supply for your Berkey Light LED system. The Berkey's LED lamps are unique because, incredibly, they have an average life of over 11 years of continuous use and are so bright they can be spotted for more than a mile in the dark, yet require very little energy. That's why this revolutionary new technology is a bit expensive, but it's worth every penny because the low-energy LEDs are able to provide light all night long for over 2 weeks on a single set of four AA alkaline batteries. That's right. Incredibly, your emergency light will operate every night for over 2 weeks for the price of four small AA batteries. Be prepared for unexpected emergencies and get the Berkey battery adapter, complete with on-off switch for only $10 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Did you know that sugar, that sweet and simple, inoffensive-looking refined substance you use in your coffee and cupcakes, actually reduces your body's ability to protect you? It suppresses your immune system. Now check this out. The average American consumes 2 to 3 pounds of sugar on average each week. That's about 120 pounds of sugar per year. Do you know what happens when your immune system is compromised? Your health suffers. It's that simple. Here's how you can help your body win the fight. With the dietary supplement Agaricus Bio. The dietary supplement Agaricus Bio was developed so that you could fight back again and again by giving your immune system a chance to be the first line of defense it was meant to be. Call 877-817-9829 to order Agaricus Bio. That number again is 877-817-9829 or visit www.thepowermall.com. Agaricus Bio, because healthy is what you want to be. Call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Don't forget to go to PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Rush Limbaugh plumbs new depths of perversion, releases Gitmo t-shirt line. Very important article. Also one about how they're trying to discredit the Downing Street memo. Classic Karl Rovian or MI6 type activities. We've got to get Professor Griffin on for 2 hours sometime. There's just an hour is not enough with the breaks and things. And I want to jam a few more calls in here from David and Mike and Dana. But real fast, Professor, finish up what you were saying about the last caller.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think he makes a good point that I think many people who know the official story is wrong and that our government was complicit say, look, if we expose that, that's going to bring down the whole government. We're going to be in chaos. You know, the economy will crash, give our so-called enemies a chance and all that. And so I think that fear is another factor that the government, the forces who did this thought they could count on.
Yeah,
I've
talked to a lot of people who go, look, I know it's true, but it's the system and leave it alone.
Yeah, because, revealing the truth would cause more harm than letting it go and letting the guys get away with it.
But that's not true. I mean, we're dealing with cold-blooded killers. They're going to keep doing this.
Yeah, and when we're talking about the future of the world, because, I mean, this is the larger context we need to consider, that the project for global domination is not just dominating all other peoples.
It's us domestically.
But also, us domestically, and also the ecological system of the planet, which these characters care nothing about.
No, you're right. Absolutely right.
They're going to use this to, the studies indicate that global warming, if it is not slowed down enormously, I mean, we're talking about 90% reduction.
I agree with you on environmental crises, genetic engineering, but that's a whole. We got to get you back up, Professor. Let's take a couple final calls real fast. Mike in Tennessee, a steel worker, real fast. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex. I just wanted to comment on the thickness of those inside columns.
Yes, sir.
I've built buildings with steel that thick many times, 20 years in the business. I'm a certified welder. It actually takes a special cutting torch other than an oxygen acetylene to cut steel that thick. So kerosene burning, which is basically what jet fuel is, their explanation is what made me believe that the whole thing was a sham.
Well, for those that don't know, kerosene burns even lower than gasoline. You can stick a lit match in it. Don't try this at home, folks, because if there's any oxygen aerosolized, it will explode. But you can sit there and literally try to light kerosene on fire. Explain that to people.
Like I said, it takes an accelerated oxygen into it at such a rate that there's no way. The fluorocarbon fuels burn all the oxygen off, and that takes a lot of the heat out of the fire. Henceforth, as you said, before you can even start with a cutting torch, you have a blue flame. As soon as the steel starts to get soft and red, then you throw oxygen to it. When the oxygen hits it, the flame turns white and blows the steel out of the way. It actually doesn't destroy it. It just kind of melts it, blows it.
Yeah, so your point is that even just cutting an ordinary piece of steel, you know, maybe an inch thick, would take an acetylene torch. And
right.
These things that are 4 inches thick,
it takes
would take an enormous amount of energy.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mike. Dana and Joni and everybody, I'm sorry. We're out of time. We'll have to have Professor Griffin back on in the future. Professor, will you come back on?
Surely, Alex. Anytime.
All right. God bless you.
Okay. You too.
Take care. All right. I'll be back tonight, 9 to midnight Central Standard Time. This week's Alamo Drafthouse showing of Martial Law in Salt Lamar sold out. One more showing, and it is the last. Next Monday, get your tickets now at InfoWars.com. Or PrisonPlanet.com, link through and get your tickets now, or buy them at the door, now. I'm sure it'll be sold out by next Monday. All right, just get out there and take on the New World Order. God bless you all.